Thank you. Thank you, Vyacheslav. And good afternoon, everybody. It's a great pleasure to be not just here, but in your lovely city of Prague on a beautiful day. And I feel in altogether happy mood. And it's, after all, a happy subject they were speaking about. I think it's too often that when lawyers talk about pro bono, they start looking rather miserable somehow. But in fact, my experience, and I'd say British experience of pro bono work, is that it gives unique pleasure and fulfillment to the lawyers who engage in it. And one of the things that we have found is that this infectiousness has spread in particularly the very large corporate firms in London. It's been a bottom-up evangelism because the very largest commercial firms have found over now more than a decade that some of the young people they want most to recruit to their firms will say first of all to them, and what do you do for pro bono? And if they have to say, well, nothing, it's up to you, they will go to another firm. And that bottom-up movement, as I call it, has led to a significant change in the British landscape over the last 10 or 15 years. Before I go any further, I would like to congratulate Pilar, and in particular, Vyacheslav Dohnal, correct? Did you get that right? It's terrible language. no, I'd like to really congratulate Vyacheslav for the extraordinarily dogged and effective leadership he's given in your country for pro bono. I'd also like to pay tribute to the president of the Bar Association, who by his presence here today demonstrates what importance it has for him and the association. And then I'd like to say that I hope you will forgive me if some of the things I say seem to you to be irrelevant or ill-judged, because I have a limited understanding of your country and its legal system and precisely where you are in relation to pro bono. I have a broad understanding, but no more, of the different history of this place to my own country. I was born, in fact, on the unhappy day when Hitler marched into Prague. And I sometimes think that the history of Czechland, or Czechoslovakia as it was, has been extraordinarily complicated and in many ways unfortunate over the last 70 years. You've had to contend with so much, and it is wonderful to see your country gradually refinding its place and position as one of the leading countries, not just of Europe, but of the world. And there is in this country a reservoir of intelligence and culture and of good values and of ingenuity that I am convinced will not only serve you well generally and economically, but will provide an impetus for pro bono, which I believe passionately is part and parcel of being a lawyer. I'm afraid I'm one of those old men who thinks that you cannot be a lawyer without being deeply concerned for justice, not just justice for your client, but justice for all. After all, it's a legal system without worth that talks about equality before the law and then does nothing to make that a reality. I also know only too well, as having been in the British Parliament for a number of years, that the law of the British state, and this is a truism throughout the developed world, each of our countries, all of the countries of Europe, are more and more governed and bound by law. When I was a young man, when I started full-time in the law in 1957 in a small country town lawyer's practice, more than half the population never had need to cross the door of a lawyer. Today, that is impossible. In the UK, we now pass legislation at the rate of 13,000 pages of law a year, and we're supposed to be a common law country. And all I know is that the need for lawyers of a liberal culture, lawyers who, of course, look after themselves, of course, expect to make a good or decent living, but at the same time cannot contemplate working as lawyers without, as I say, contributing their skills, their wisdom, their knowledge of the world to those who cannot afford their services and who would otherwise go without help or assistance. I like to think that pro bono is in the genes of our profession, in the genes of us as lawyers. And indeed, I sometimes wonder, how do we claim the right to talk of ourselves as belonging to a profession if we have nothing to profess? And by that I mean, if we cannot honestly say that we are the gatekeepers to justice for all men and all women. And so, if I may, I'll just spend a few minutes telling you what we are doing in the UK, in case it is of interest or possible relevance to what you might be doing here. And I will preface my remarks by reminding you that, as I understand it from Vítězslav and your president, that you don't yet have, despite the efforts of the Bar Association, you don't yet have a legal aid scheme in the way that many, if not most, other countries do. In the UK, we brought in a very comprehensive scheme in 1948, and at that time, over 90% of all the lawyers in the UK did legal aid. The legal aid scheme has fallen on hard times, but it still covers a third of the population for all their legal needs. It's based on a means test. We still spend £2 billion a year on legal aid in Britain. But that leaves an ever-growing number of people, as I say, with little or no legal services, even though more and more they have need of those legal services. So one of the things we do in the solicitors pro bono group, or as it's otherwise called, Law Works, one of the main things we do is train young commercial lawyers to be confident to go to clinics and law centres after work to help anybody who comes through the door. Because I need hardly tell you that the normal commercial work does not extend to social law, to housing law for the poor, and so on. And you will be interested, and I hope, cheered by the fact that we train now getting on for 1,000 young lawyers a year. And it goes without saying that all those who receive this basic training will then go on to do pro bono work. And I repeat, the experience is they love it. It provides a connection between what they do as lawyers and the plight of disadvantaged people. It provides a connection that they don't get in their work. It provides an immediate buzz of feeling that you have helped somebody, not some rich person get richer, but some poor person get a little less poor. So that's one thing we do. Another thing we do, which has been hugely successful, is encourage law clinics in universities. And we have 130 universities in the UK. Over 90 of them have law faculties, law courses, and now over 80 of those have pro bono law clinics for their law students. And I know for a fact that the majority of students want to take part in these clinics, firstly because it will help them understand the law better. It converts what is pure academic study into some practical experience. Secondly, everybody who does it, as always, gets great fulfillment from it, gets great satisfaction from it. And what is more, the clinics provide a wonderful creative tripartite alliance between the students, their teachers, and local lawyers, because they can't run these clinics without the cooperation of local lawyers who have to oversee to a minimal extent the work done and the advice given. And of course, thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of citizens in desperate need, many of them, get legal help when they need it without charge. Another thing that we are doing, because the hard financial times that afflicts all the countries of the world has meant in the UK that 10% of lawyers have been made redundant, laid off. The percentage in the big commercial firms is, if anything, higher than in the smaller general practices. And what we found is that by providing a pro bono activity to these poor people who have no outlet for their legal skills, it's been a lifeline for many of them, as well as providing a lifeline for the people they help. And that's been and is being a great success. We've provided a similar outlet for lawyers who retired early or indeed retired at normal age, but who don't want to completely abandon their legal skills, would like to use them for the benefit of the public, would like to use them for the common good, would like to use them to make equality before the law a reality, would like to use them as gatekeepers to justice for people who so often get the worst of everything. And so that is another project that is working really well. I'd like just to quickly mention the pro bono week that we have in the UK, which maybe one day, Mr. President, you'll be in a position to implement here. And I do understand that you already have a sort of heavy duty as a lawyer of what might be called compulsory pro bono, so you're in a different position. But let's hope you get your legal aid law through, maybe after the next elections. But pro bono week in the UK, we've done it for about 3 years now, and it's a real success. It's supported by the senior legal officer of the UK government, the Attorney General. And it is a series of activities up and down the country of a pro bono kind, sometimes run by local law societies, sometimes by firms, sometimes by us, and so on, sometimes by the bar pro bono unit. And it is a great success. It's telling the good news of pro bono, not just to give people hope who thought they had no hope when they needed legal help, but to celebrate our profession. And believe me, lawyers have very little to celebrate in the UK these days. The days of my youth, when local lawyers were local celebrities, were admired, were respected, where being a lawyer was something you could put your chest out and be proud about, those days, sadly, have, if not entirely gone, are going fast. Lawyers today are looked upon in the UK as fat cats, some of them very fat cats. And to be able to tell the public that we haven't lost our professional idealism, we haven't lost our passion for justice, that we are willing to do something about it, that makes National Pro Bono Week a great success in all dimensions. I'll wind up now because I'm only supposed to speak for 15 minutes. I just wanted to say that we have a crisis in the UK at the moment, a crisis of values, a crisis of trust. To some extent, we have become demoralised. That's to say, the financial markets have no interest in morals. They'll observe the law, But that's as far as they'll go. And if one lawyer says they can't do it, they'll look for another who will say, you can. We have become in a very dangerous state. And I hope that that state is not reflected in this country. But I do believe that what stands behind pro bono, in terms of the values it represents, in terms of the outlook it represents, in terms of the cultural commitment it represents, the commitment, that's to say, of lawyers, but I would say of every other group of people who are well paid and in a privileged position, the sense that they have something to give back to their community, have something to add to common benefit and public interest. Pro bono today, in those senses, as a contributor to the extremely dangerous position that I think we currently are in the UK, is of great value. And then, I think really that's probably all I ought to say, although I could say a great deal more. But at least I'll end on this note, that if we are a profession, as I said earlier, we need to decide, each of us for ourselves, what it is we profess and by what values we make that profession. And it's sad to me that so many people coming out of our universities, in the UK at any rate, go through 3 years of a law degree, never examining the cultural and social context in which law making and law servicing is carried on. Never look at the underlying ethics, and thus, is that my fault? I think that's telling me to shut up, so I will. Thank you.